Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, for the do-over. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a second chance, and many of us third and fourth and fifth chances. Thank you, God, for your grace. Father God, I lift up this word to you this morning, thanking you, Lord God, for being a God of second chances, a God who loves his children more than anything, as we love you, Jesus. Father God, I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, thanking him, praising him, loving him for taking my awful sins to the cross. Lord God, I thank you for loving us enough to sacrifice the love that you have, your son, for us, who was with you at the beginning and who will be with you at the end, who sits on the right hand of you, Father God, every moment, every second, every minute, every hour, interceding for your children. Lord God, I thank you. Christ Jesus, I thank you. I thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy toward me and for all of us. Lord, we know that you are calling many home, and we ask you, Lord God, to give all the bereaved that are left behind strength to move forward in another day, to know that you are with us, that you will not leave widows, that you will not leave orphans, that you will not leave what some call the least among us. Lord, you will not let us fall, for you have us in your hands. Lord God, I thank you for having me in your hand. I thank you for watching over this widow. I thank you for loving me, Lord God, many times more than I love myself. I thank you, Lord God, for this mighty word that you have put in my mouth to bestow this morning from your word, not my word, but your word. Lord God, let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits in the mighty and precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I lift up bereaved families today. You know who each and every one is. And Lord, I ask you to please, if it is your will, stop this horrible war in Ukraine. Stop it in its tracks, Lord God. That no more hurt, no more harm, no more danger come near these people. And I pray, Lord God, that in this conflict, that someone will acknowledge you, that someone will pray and say, Lord, please help us, that they will feel your presence and that they will know once the bombs stop, once everything ceases, that you, Lord God, are the one that's in charge of everything, that this is your planet, that you created it for your children, and that you love us each and every one. There's no big or little I. There's only you. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that I am a child of God and that you love all of us, each and every one, that you love us without condition, that you love us in our good, that you love us in our bad, that you love us in our ugly, that you love us just because you created each and every one of us individually to be the best that we can be. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word this morning, asking you again, Father, increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray, lifting up this word. Amen, 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 giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah this morning. I just can't help but say hallelujah. You have given me a second chance. As the psalmist says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, hallelujah. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Hallelujah. We got to say, I'm moving ahead this morning. I'm not going back to yesterday. I'm moving ahead into today. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday because my daddy God is with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor. Lord, you're worthy of the power. Lord, you're worthy of the glory. Lord, you're worthy of the honor. Lord, you're worthy this morning. I'm filled up, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, just get filled up because I know that I'm blessed. Even in our mess, we got to know that we are blessed. Even when we're going through, even when we can't maneuver through all the clutter in our life, in our minds, in our spirit, know that you're blessed. Because why God says so. The children of Israel, this morning is Old Testament Friday. And this morning we are still in the book of Joshua. And Joshua and his children and the children of Israel have finally, woo, hallelujah, crossed over. They finally crossed that Jordan River. They finally made it into the promised land that God had told their fathers and their mothers 40 years ago that they would make it in. But understand, their fathers and their mothers didn't make it. As the song says, millions didn't make it, but I was one of the ones that did. Hallelujah. Millions didn't make it into the promised land because they were stiff-necked, hard-headed, and didn't want to do what thus says the Lord. Even Moses and Aaron. Whew, come on now. We're going to call them all. Moses, Aaron, our millions made it in. Moses got to have a peek and look in, but he didn't make it in. because he also had a disobedient spirit, because he got tired of being sick and tired of folks not wanting to do what thus says the Lord. And the word God gave me this morning is God sees everything we do. God sees everything we do. Keep that in your heart. God sees everything I do. God sees everything we do. God sees it all. Hallelujah. God sees it all. So can you please join me in the word of God? We are in Joshua chapter 5 on this 8th day of the month. Oh, I can't believe the time is just going right on by. April 8th, 2022. And we're going into Joshua chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 1. And we will be in Joshua chapter 5 through Joshua chapter 10. And I will be coming this morning out of the NIV. Version of our word this morning. And again, please join me in Joshua chapter 5. And there are life lessons, life questions, life examples. God willing and time permits, we will get all of those at the end of our lesson and after the end of our scripture reading. Again, join me in Joshua 5, starting at verse 1, and we will go to Joshua chapter 10, if time permits, and we will be at verse number 43. So we're going through chapters 5 through 10 this morning, and I am coming today out of the NIV. And it says this, the people are circumcised. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeah-Haaralot. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and there were the ones Joshua, and they were, these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. The manna stopped. As you know, God's been feeding these folks for 40 years. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Jericho is destroyed. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Oh! Y'all gonna make me shout. Woo, hallelujah. And we all know Jesus. He kept showing up, showing strong. Angels of the Lord, the mighty angels, them archangels, kept showing up, mighty strong. But this was good. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." There's only one commander of God's army, and that is God. And that is his Son. And that is the Holy Spirit. And they are one. For Jesus is the Lord God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And he said this. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. What happened with Moses? Who said, "Take off your shoes, for where you stand is holy ground, for I am"? Isn't that what he said? Come on now. We got to understand how to look at this. We know that Joshua was becoming a disciple, that he would follow the Lord, he told him. Because we know that the Lord our God sees everything. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets, a ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Now, reading that, you said, that sounds so silly. Why can't we just take a siege ram, knock that door down, do what we got to do, and call it a day? 6 days, we got to march around. Then on the 7th day, we got to blow the horn, and me and the wall going to come down. What? But Joshua had faith. Joshua understood because he had been with Moses. He had seen some things, okay? And he's like, if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And we're going to do what thus says the Lord. And we got to have that in our spirit. We got to follow what thus says the Lord. So Joshua's son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets. Order the army advance. March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she did the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, "Hallelujah." That's what I want to say. They shouted, "Hallelujah," giving honor to God. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed it with the sword, every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her, in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed be for the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Achan, sin, and resulting punishment. Now, you know, all these people, all these soldiers, all these fighting men, was quiet, marching around 6 days. Was quiet, marching around on the seventh day until the seventh time. And then they shouted and watched those walls come down. And the only thing they were told to do was destroy everything but Rahab and her family. And that all the silver and gold and precious things were to be given into the treasury because they belonged to God. So we had somebody who thought that the Lord couldn't see him do some stuff. Understand the word of God. God sees everything. That's what God gave me this morning. God sees, or actually yesterday, God sees everything. Can y'all repeat that with me? God sees everything. And Achan thought he had got away with them. But it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zamari, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, or Ai, which is near Beth Ephraim, to the east of Bethlehem, and told them, "Go up and spied the region." So the men went up and spied out us. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there." So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city, gave as far as the stone quarries, and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." Excuse me. "Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe of the Lord, the tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. Whoever is caught with the devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel." God didn't play. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families. Zamari was chosen. Joshua had his family come forward man by man. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zamari, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. After they had stoned the rest, they burned him. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor. Wow. You think this is your daddy decide to steal from God and you lose your life too? What did it say? They stoned him, and after that, after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. The whole entire family, including, what did it say? The cows and everything. What did it say? Over Achor. What did it say? they took Achan, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achan. That's what they have you. Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel, he talked to me the folks, stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Stoned and burned because of sin in the camp. Because God sees everything. Israel killed all who live in Ai. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king, Ai, you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourself. Set an ambush behind the city. So Joshua did, and the whole army moved out to attack. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and sent them out at night with these orders. Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you, do be on alert. I and all those with me will advance on the city. And when the men come out against us as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city. But they will say they are running away from us as they did before. So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from the ambush. Take the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it. You have my orders. Then Joshua sent them up, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait until between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people. Early the next morning, Joshua mustered his army. He and the leaders of Israel marched before them to Ai. And the entire force that was with him marched up and approached the city and arrived in front of it. They set up camp north of Ai, with all the valley between them and the city. Joshua had taken about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai, to the west of the city. So the soldiers took up their position with the main camp to the north of the city and the ambush to the west of it. That night, Joshua went into the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning to meet Israel in battle at a certain place overlooking the Arabah. But he did not know that an ambush had been set against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel let themselves be driven back before them, and they fled toward the west of the wilderness. All the men of Ai were called to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and was lured away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. They left the city open and went in pursuit of Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, hold out towards Ai the javelin that is in your hand, and into your hand I will deliver the city. So Joshua held out toward the city the javelin that was in his hand. As soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city, captured it, and quickly set it on fire. The men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising up into the sky, but they had no chance to escape in any direction. The Israelites who had been fleeing toward the wilderness had turned back against their pursuers. But when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke was going up from it, they turned around and attacked the men of Ai. There in the ambush also came out of the city against them, so that they were caught in the middle with Israel on both sides. Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor fugitives. But they took the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. when Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the wilderness where they had chased them, and when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites returned to Ai and killed those who were in it. 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out his garment until he had destroyed all who lived in the air, and I, But Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock, the plunder of this city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a permanent people room, a desolate place to this day. He impaled the body of the king of Ai on a pole and left it there until evening. At sunset, Joshua ordered them to take the body from the pole and throw it down at the entrance of the city gate, and they raised a large pile of rocks over it, which remained to this day. Don't mess with God or his people, for the Lord God sees everything. Israel renewed covenant with God. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written on the book of the law, in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stone on which no iron tool had been used. On it they offered the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings there in the presence of the Israelites. Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. All the Israelites with their elders, officials, and judges were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing the Levitical priest who carried it. Both the foreigners living among them and the native-born were there. Half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had formerly commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. Afterwards, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. The Gibeonites, deceptive treaty. Now, I got to say this, you know, the Gibeonites were something else, but they were smart. And Joshua forgot to inquire of the Lord. He just was being God because he was a good person. He was a strategist, a military strategist that even to this day, nobody would want to come up against. But, you know, when you're kind of tired, you done been fighting, you weary, they done took Jericho, they done took Ai, they done took all this, they tired to a point. So this little sneaky group who was smart, I give it that, they were smart, said, okay, we done watched them kill everything and everybody, so we got to figure out something to save ourselves. So let's see what happens. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western hill, foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sets and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and packed sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him, and the Israelites, we have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. The Israelites said to the Hivites, but perhaps you will live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you? We are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, who are you and where do you come from? They answered, your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, each of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon, and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we kept it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now see how dry and moldy it is. And these wine skins that we filled with meat. But see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. They forgot to talk to God. And we got to be very careful that we don't step into something that we don't talk to God about first. And sometimes when we think we're talking to God, the evil one will sneak in and try to sound like God. Say just enough truth that you think God said it's okay. But they forgot at all to inquire of God. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out on the third day, came to their city, Gibeon, Kephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, we have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them. They continue, let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly. So the leaders' promise to them was kept. And Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, why did you deceive us by saying we live a long way from you, while actually you live near us? You are not under a curse. You will never be released from service as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. They answered Joshua, your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you. So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the assembly to provide for the need of the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose, and that is what they are to this day. Chapter 10, the sun stands still. Now Adoni, that a king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken on and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king as he had done into Jericho and its king, and that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and had become their allies. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were good fighters. So Adonijah, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Horam, king of Hebron, Perim, king of Jeremoth, Japhia, king of Lashish, and Gibar, king of Eglon. Come up and help me keep Gideon, he said, attack Gideon, he said, because it has made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jeremoth, Lashish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took up position against Gibeon and attacked it. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorites from the Gilgal country have joined forces against us." So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Do not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Machaiah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon, Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down to them, and more of them died from the hail and were killed by the sword of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, so the nation avenged itself on its enemies. Ooh. It is written in the book of Jeshua, "The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to the human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel." Then Joshua returned all of Israel to camp at Gilgal. 5 enemy kings are killed and then hung on trees. Now the 5 kings had fled and hidden in the cave of Machaiah. When Joshua was told that the 5 kings had been found hiding in the cave of Machaiah, he said, "Roll large stones up to the mouth of the cave and post some men there to guard it. But don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear and don't let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hands." So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely, but a few survivors managed to reach the fortified cities. The whole army then returned safely to Joshua in the camp of Machaiah, and no one uttered a word against the Israelites. Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring those 5 kings out to me." So they brought the 5 kings out of the cave, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jermah, Lachish, and Eglon. When they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, "Come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings." So they came forward and placed their feet on their necks. Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you are going to fight." Then Joshua put the kings to death and exposed their bodies on 5 poles, and they were left hanging on the poles until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave the order, and they took them down from the poles and threw them into the cave where they had been hiding. At the mouth of the cave, they placed large rocks, which are there to this day. That day, Joshua took Machaiah. He put the city and its king to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivors, and he did as he did to the king of Machaiah as he had done to the king of Jericho. Southern Canaan is conquered. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Machaiah and Lebanon and attacked it. The Lord also gave the city and its king into Israel's hands. The city and everyone in it Joshua put to the sword. He left no survivors there, and he did it to the king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Lebanon to Lachish. He took up position against it and attacked it. The Lord gave Lachish into Israel's hand, and Joshua took it on the second day. the city and everyone in it put to the sword, just as he had done to Lebanon. Meanwhile, Horam, king of Gaza, had come up to help Lachish, but Joshua defeated him and his army until no survivors was left. All right, to be Gaza. And then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Lachish to Eglon. They took up positions against it and attacked it. They captured it that same day and put it to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it, just as they had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him went up from Eglon to Hebron and attacked it. They took the city and put it to the sword, together with its king, its villages, and everyone in it. They left no survivors, just as Eglon. They totally destroyed it and everyone in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him turned around and attacked Gibeah. They took the city, its king, and its village and put them to the sword. Everyone in it they totally destroyed. They left no survivors. They did to Gibeah, the deer, and its king, as they had done to Lebanon and its king and to Hebron. So Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev, the west of Gilead, and the mountain slopes, together with all their kings. He left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All these kings and their lands Joshua conquered in one campaign, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. And that is our word for this morning. We have just read the book of Joshua, chapters 5 through chapter 10 this morning. And it has been a good word. And the word for that God gave me this morning is God sees everything. And as we go back through Joshua, but touch on some life lessons. The first is from chapter 5. When they had finished circumcising all the people, they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. While the men healed from their painful circumcisions, they remained vulnerable to attack from hostile forces. Yet our sovereign Lord protected them even then. God provides exactly what we need when we need it. In fact, he assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. The key word is obey the Lord, and I just say that he sees everything. Joshua 5:14, as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. The question is never, is God on our side, but rather, are we on God's side? God does not choose sides, but he invites us to choose his side. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Joshua 6:5, all the people shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. As a soldier, Joshua must have seen these instructions as very strange. Yet, as a man of God, he immediately obeyed God. Does not require us to understand his will, just obey it, whether it makes sense or not. Already won, Joshua 6, it was huge, and it stood in their way. As Joshua looked at the fortifications of Jericho, he realized that taking the city was no small task, especially with the seemingly impenetrable walls that stood before him. However, God promised Joshua that Israel would triumph, and Joshua believed him. We got to believe whatever God says he will do, he will do. To God, the conquest of Jericho was already accomplished. It wasn't about a trumpet sound or about the Israelites shouting anymore. Then, parting the Red Sea had been accomplished by Moses. Whether the marching, the yelling, all of it was about obedience. It was about whether the Israelites would submit to the one who had already delivered the city to them. And they did. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days, Hebrews 11:30. For generations to come, the children of Israel were asked about the onslaught of Jericho. And even to this day, we've seen the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And we know that our daddy God can do all things. Joshua 16:26, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. The curse of Joshua on Jericho came into force many centuries later in the time of King Ahab, when a man named Hiel rebuilt it at the very cost prophesied by Joshua. And we'll come across this again in 1 Kings chapter 16 when we get to that scripture later on this year. And this is the next step. It says, Joshua 7:5, the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. 36 soldiers of Israel died in a failed attack on the little town of Ai because the people had not conquered and not inquired of the Lord before they acted. Prayer is the life's greatest time saver and often a lifesaver as well. Whatever we do, we got to pray. And we go over to Joshua 7:21. It says, I coveted them and took them. Sin begins in the heart. Achan's problems began when he broke the last commandment about coveting, the very sin the Apostle Paul noted in himself. It takes God's spirit within us to correct a new, to create a new and obedient heart. We cannot covet anything that belongs to our neighbors. We can't cover anything. When God says no, we got to accept God's no. We cannot worry about what somebody said, you said, she said. We got to know that God sees everything and God's in charge. Oh, hallelujah. And this is the word. Sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. We do not know how God accomplished this great miracle. We know only that he did it in response to believing prayer. God invites us to partner with him in the work of his kingdom. But we must never forget that we are very much the junior partners. And the last thing for this morning is this. Do not be afraid, not be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. But thus the Lord will do to all your enemies. At the beginning of his military career, Joshua needed to be encouraged by his people, Joshua 1:18. Now he returns the favor and encourages them. We need each other more than we know. And I can say one more time, because our Father God sees everything. He knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our spirit. And before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. When you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Have a fantastic Friday. And understand that word fits right along with everything we have read today. God gave them, Israel, everything he said he would give them. He did. And our last thing is a prayer. We may go a couple of minutes over, but we are going to get this in. Made to be. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Romans 12:6, NASB. Lord, you are so creative. You made me uniquely reflect your image. No two people are the same, and I am grateful to know that I was never meant to be a carbon copy of someone else. Thank you for your love that deposits incredible gifts in each person in different ways. I will not despise what you have put in me in favor of what I admire in others. Help me to shine brightly, living with great intentions and freedom to operate in the gifts that you have so generously given me. As I grow in my knowledge of who you are, I grow in confidence of who you have made me to be. Why would I want to be anyone else when you took the time and attention to purposely make me just as I am, even with all the work I offer you my gifts for, and I will live using them for the increase of your kingdom on the earth. And the question for today as we end is, what are you good at doing that doesn't come as easily to others? Trust God today and know that he is with you wherever you go, and he sees every. Have a blessed day, family, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that he is with you wherever you go. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Thank you so much. It's time to go to work. Have a blessed day.